Welcome to the IGIS Institute Sounds of Safety podcast, where our community will be delving into a series of critical issues supporting the public sector mission space.
Welcome back to another episode of the IGIS Institute's Sounds of Safety podcast series. Today, we will dive into the next episode of the Navigating Cybersecurity series, explaining the NIST Cybersecurity Framework 2.0 step-by-step. Listen to experts Larry Zorio and Jeremy Cooper-Levitt as they explore the third core function of NIST CSF, Protect. The Protect function supports an organization's ability to secure its assets by reducing the likelihood and impact of adverse events while increasing its ability to take advantage of opportunities successfully. Now let's hand it back to our hosts for the episode.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of IGIS Institute's Sound of Safety Cybersecurity Corner. This is Larry. I'm here with Jeremy. And today we're going to be talking about the NIST Cybersecurity Framework 2.0. Specifically, we're going through a series right now. We've already put out a few of these where we're going to cover each domain of the NIST Cybersecurity Framework. We've since covered Govern and Identify, and today we're going to be covering Protect. Protect is a good one because there are some kind of more of the tactical controls that maybe you do think of do kind of fall under Protect. And as always, as a teaser, please stick around to the very end where Jeremy and myself give you some real tactical tools to use for this domain. Jeremy, how you doing?
Doing great. Glad to see you again.
Good. All right. Well, let's get right into it. So Protect, the description of Protect, Jeremy, is safeguards to manage the organization's cybersecurity risks are used. And the section is broken down for the listeners, and we're going to go over some of those sections with you. We might not cover every one of them because this is a detailed report. But the first one is identity management, authentication, and access control. Talk about an important one. Jeremy, why is identity management, authentication, and access control so important?
Yeah, it's a good one. It's important. We've talked before about how important it is to know where all your data is. They're your crown jewels. You need to protect it at all costs. And we spend all this money and put controls in place to protect the perimeter of our technology. But we also need to make sure that the people that actually access it, that's what their job is for. And so managing the identity and access management and who can get into and what they can get into is extremely important. So they can do their job correctly, but also that they don't have access to the data they don't need to do their job.
I would hate to claim that one of these sections is more important than another, but oh man, this is an important section. Identity and access management, right? With all these breaches that you hear about, a lot of them have to do with going after people's user credentials. The listeners, you hear it all the time, right? There's a good chance that some of your credentials are on the dark web. This is what these attackers want because they know that they're valuable. They're trying to either get into your company, to your agency, or steal your information, sell it on the dark web. So that's really kind of what identity management covers. It covers the identities and the credentials of authorized users, identities are proved and bound to credentials, even kind of some of the authentication on hardware. It's all so important. Jeremy, what do you want to add around kind of these subsections? I didn't even cover the last couple. There's a physical access one as well, but any one of these stand out that you want to kind of share a little more detail?
In my experience, it's important to get people the access that they need and they can do their job. And it's important to make sure their access is appropriate. It's also important, though, to go and perform on a regular basis entitlement reviews so that you're looking at these systems where this most important data is and making sure, hey, that person's no longer with the company, but we didn't remove their access. So let's go and double check that and make sure that they're no longer on this system. A lot of times companies will have people what's called identity sprawl, where they just have access to things they don't need anymore, but it was never removed because they changed job responsibilities and moved into a different department. So doing that on a regular basis, having the application owner go in and account for who's still on the systems and the access that they have is important, especially with the people that have your administrator level access.
Certainly, right? One thing you said actually triggered another piece of that review that should be done is, yes, the users, your actually employees or the contractors that are connecting to your environment or your system, but also the system accounts themselves. There are plenty of situations where I've seen a new system's installed. For whatever reason, we need to stand up all these system accounts in the background to get the system stood up, to get the application stood up. And you really only need it for a short period of time. Or maybe you need a system account for some sort of integration that you were using 3 years ago. Well, that integration isn't working anymore because you're no longer using that vendor. So you definitely want to look at the system accounts, the non-human accounts as well. Because as Jeremy said, even a lot of those have administrative rights tied to them too. Those system accounts. Yeah. All right, let's keep it going. Keep the flow going here. Next section, which I love, is awareness and training. The organization's personnel are provided with cybersecurity awareness and training so they can perform their cybersecurity related tasks. How important is security awareness training, Jeremy?
Yeah, especially
it's a loaded question.
Yeah, we get 1 month a year. October, I think, is cybersecurity awareness month, but one of the things we're always teaching people about is look where you're at. If you're out in public and you're doing work, can other people look over your shoulder and see what you're working on? And a lot of the awareness training that comes out is awareness of protecting your credentials and where are you working? Like, should you really be on that VPN in the airport working in a system that has your customer's name, address, possibly social security number, credit card information, et cetera? Those are things that need to be involved in the training so that people can be reminded that not everywhere is safe. Not everybody needs to see what you're working on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for those in the audience who are maybe responsible for creating trainings, one of the things that I've always found to be very useful and very effective is to relate whatever you're teaching back to personal life. So if you have a bunch of employees in a room and you're teaching them about multi-factor authentication, teach them about how they're using it in their daily lives already. Their bank is certainly using multi-factor authentication, or it should be. Most banks and credit unions are. ATMs are using multi-factor authentication. You have a card and you got to enter a PIN. So it's being used in your daily life and maybe you don't realize it. So, I mean, you might get some eye rolls, especially when you're delivering these trainings, because people are like, oh, geez, really, we have to do this or that. I think the more you can relate it back to their home life or their personal life, the better off you'll be. All right, let's keep moving on. Data security. I'll read the definition of this one for everybody. Data are managed consistent with the organization's risk strategy to protect the confidentiality, integrity, availability of information. And I want to break these down a bit because there are four subtasks here, Jeremy. CIA, confidentiality, integrity, availability. That's a good acronym for everybody, CIA. CIA of data at rest, CIA with data in transit, CIA with data in use. That's all kind of part of this section. What are we talking about here?
Yeah, we've talked about this before as well about the crown jewels. Your data is your crown jewels. Now you kind of need to look at where that data is going, who's accessing it, how is it moving around your network, where is it stored, where is it located, and how is it protected? Because you've got to be able to account for it. So a best example I can give would be credit card data. That should never be going across your network in clear text. That needs to be encrypted. So that kind of covers your data in motion or data in transit type of thing. Mm-hmm. Data at rest, like should customer data or should that credit card data be on a laptop? The answer in almost all cases is no. But if it is, it needs to be encrypted. Same with the data stored in your databases. If it has a requirement to be encrypted, that data needs to be encrypted and protected. And that's the same with the data in use when you're using the data. Doesn't need to be masked. Portions of it need to be covered up. You'll see that in a lot of applications now when you're typing in your password, the little dots are there. But in the olden days, that they weren't there. But in a lot of cases, there may be other systems where things need to be masked. And that's kind of what that is covering, is how do you protect this data that you went through all this trouble and you spent all this time to protect? You need to make sure the humans are accessing it appropriately and only the right ones. And you need to make sure that as the data is being displayed or transmitted or stored, when no one's using it, it's taken care of.
Yeah, all good points, all around encryption. I think many of the audience are going to be in public safety that are listening to this right now. It's a good chance that you are accessing FBI data that has to follow CJIS requirements. It's kind of why, one of the reasons why we recommend NIST, because it maps very nicely to CJIS. A big part of CJIS is encryption, a huge part of it. They talk a lot about encryption throughout that policy, that requirements document. They mention TLS and they mention FIPS, which are different encryption types, and a few others, I think, as well. So this is important not only because it's the right thing to do, but it's also important because there's some compliance ramifications regarding encryption as well. So make sure that you are doing it, and also push your vendors to make sure that they are. Any data that you're sending them is encrypted at rest. When you're using that, maybe that SaaS solution in the cloud solution, that data is encrypted over the internet. And just when you're using it on their system as well, that data in use. Again, there's some compliance reasons behind that. So, all right, let's move on to the next section, Jeremy, which is platform security. The hardware, software, parentheses, firmware, operating systems, applications, and services of physical and virtual platforms are managed consistent with the organization's risk strategy to protect their CIA. There's a lot to unpack here. There's actually many, many subsections under this one around configuration, software, hardware. But with regards to platform security, Jeremy, what kind of sticks out for you that the audience should know about?
Yeah, a lot of what I've seen, a lot of the hacks that are out there, the top hacks that affect companies is misconfiguration, where a server is misconfigured, where, for example, like a person got a router and they did not change the default user ID and password that are used to manage the router or manage the switch, or they set up a server and they didn't change the defaults. And a lot of that's where configuration stands with this protect category. And I've seen that so many times in investigations I've been involved in after the fact, after a hack has occurred, that it was either something was not configured correctly, like a firewall rule wasn't set up properly, or they didn't keep up with their patch levels of their software. So keeping your software up to date and patched and taken care of, those are so important. And those are easy manual things that you can do with good procedures in place to make changes and make yourself more secure. And it didn't really cost a lot of money. You just followed a procedure to make sure you configured things correctly and changed passwords.
Yeah, the patching is so important. That to me was number one when I was reading all this. It's like, oh geez, patching definitely falls under this section. This is all about updating and patching your systems. The one thing I want to call out with all of these is there's kind of a common theme, especially with software and hardware. It says software and hardware is maintained, which is kind of the patching and the operational stuff Jeremy's talking about. It's replaced and removed. And that is important. I have, I've been in this industry for a long time. I've been blessed to work for some really great companies. And there's been points in times where you go in there and you look at the inventory of your applications and there are thousands of applications, thousands. And you do an inventory of them and half of them aren't being used anymore. If you're not using an application, you need to retire it. Because if you don't retire it, that is a great kind of quiet, under the radar way of an attacker getting into your network, getting into your systems. They go after the systems that are not being used. So that is, I'm trying to even think of an analogy, like even protecting your house. Maybe it's, it's probably the basement windows. No one, very few people use those small basement windows, right? So you forget about them. Whatever, they're down there. Make sure you lock those basement windows. Or, if they're drafty, make sure you seal them up. And in some cases, maybe you just get rid of them altogether because they're useless. But you got to do the same with hardware and software because attackers will use them to pivot their way in. So I thought that was a good one. And then another one is around logs. So, so important. And we're going to kind of get to this later on with NIST around more of like the detect and recover or detect and respond sections of NIST. A lot of that has to do with like monitoring your environment. You can't do monitoring if you don't have the logs, everyone. So make sure that those logs are being produced. Force your vendors to get them to produce logs for you or to make logs available for you that you can either monitor yourself or have them monitor them. So yeah, this one right here is a great section. There's a lot, like I said, to unpack with this one. All right, moving on to, I believe, is the last section within Protect is technology infrastructure resilience. Security architectures are managed with the organization's risk strategy to protect assets, CIA, and organizational resilience. A couple sections under there. Network environments are protected. And the technology's assets are protected. Jeremy, what stands out in this section for you?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that, the CIA confidentiality, integrity, and availability. This is the A part in my mind. This is the availability, mm-hmm. making sure that you're able to recover, making sure you have redundancy in your systems or failover, keeping things up and running, like so that if maybe one server is becoming overburdened, you have other servers that can kind of jump in there and keep everything up and keep it running. But make sure you have resiliency requirements defined for your company, like uptime. How long do you need to be staying up and available? These systems need to be up and moving. And there's cybersecurity, a lot of cybersecurity things to think about as well to keep your systems from being attacked that can take them down. But also just the monitoring from a performance perspective can go a long way as well. Just memory usage monitoring on a server that's very important, that it's holding data, or page file size. Maybe that's getting too big on a server and it's going to crash the memory. Having those alerts come in and tell you before those things happen are very important so that you can be resilient and continue operating even at peak times. Your systems are talking to you and you're listening to them, mm-hmm. and they're telling you they're tired and you're keeping them up and running.
Yep. Yeah, that's great. One of the ones we didn't talk about was more of the environmental threats. That's kind of a call out here to make sure you're aware of your assets and any environmental threats, right? Environmental threats could be like natural threats, could be a flood in the basement of your server room. Sometimes you go to the extreme, right? It could be, you know, a car crashing into your building and some of your technology gets impacted, right? These are kind of all the things, heat exposure, cold exposure, some of the environmental threats that you got to worry about. In those situations, whenever I kind of read this, I always go to, well, I would just transfer that risk. I would be using a cloud service provider for a lot of this stuff. I don't want to manage my servers wherever possible. That could be a really good option if you don't want to have to worry about these environmental threats. If perhaps you have a server room, but it's in a basement and you don't trust, it's in a flood zone perhaps, right? Transfer some of that risk. Get some sort of cloud provider to kind of help you out there, or some vendor to help you as well with that. So that's a good one, or one that stood out to me. All right, we're getting towards the home stretch, and we did tease and promise everybody that if they held out to the end, we would give them some, I'm going to call them tactical, you know, this is a beefy section. Jeremy, if you were to call out, let's call it two tactical things, and we've already mentioned a couple of them throughout here, but what would they be? And why are they important in this whole entire section?
Yeah, some of the things I would look at for the section we just talked about, protecting.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In a lot of cases, you're going to have databases. Let's say you have an Oracle database that you're using and your data is stored on. And you need to encrypt the data. There are a lot of tools out there that you can buy, but I would also look at native encryption. What mm-hmm. does that database, like Oracle, have in place that it can do the encryption for you? So you don't have to go buy a third-party tool to bring that in. And so I have found better performance in a lot of cases with vendors' own technology that they have to manage encryption, because they can keep that encryption. They keep it up to date. Microsoft does the same thing with their endpoint encryption with BitLocker in a lot of cases on endpoints. I also would say for vulnerability scanning, there's good vulnerability scanning tools out there that also check on your configurations and tell you if your configurations were.
Good one.
And so there's benchmarks you can follow, like CIS level one benchmarks. Mm-hmm. So when you're looking at a tool that's doing your scanning and you want a configuration scan for it, make sure you're following the right ones. Like if you have to be FIPS compliant or you CGIS compliant, there could be a section in there that will say, these are the settings that you need to have in place. So I'd look for tools that do that. I know Rapid7 has tools that can perform that for you and give you those results.
Love it. Those are the two great ones. The two that stand out to me are, without a doubt, training and awareness. It is the best bang for your dollar. I think I've already even said this at some point before in another show. You got to be doing it. You're only as good as your weakest link. At whatever company, agency you work for, you are only as good as whichever employee or user knows the least about cybersecurity. So you really got to spend some time and level people up. It is worth the time. It is worth the effort to put in. If you don't have the time, find a way to outsource it. There are great tools out there. There are tools that will help with phishing training. I highly recommend that. Jeremy mentioned Microsoft. Microsoft even has some phishing training kind of built in. So, you know, there's many, many options around that. So that would be number one. If you're going to spend some time, I mean, you should spend time on all of these, but I'm going to cheat and say that that one is very, very important. The other one, this is kind of me cheating because we didn't mention it and we should have. We glanced over at Jeremy, so it's my fault. Under the data security section of Protect, it talks about backups of your data are created, protected, maintained. You have to be doing backups, everybody. It is not a sexy thing. It is a boring thing to do backups, put them on tape, put them in the cloud, but have backups. Ransomware, a great control around ransomware is to have really strong backups. If you can't do it, ask a partner. Also, make sure you're asking your vendors, your cloud vendors that you're using, is my data backed up? If so, how often? Can I get access to it? How often do you test it? Make sure you're asking those questions because backups are so, so important, especially nowadays.
Yes, that is a great one.
Yeah, we skipped over that. My fault, everybody. All right. Well, that concludes our episode on Protect and the NIST Cybersecurity Framework 2.0. Stay tuned for our next episode, which is Detect, and we'll go into great detail on that one. So until next time, everybody, have a good one.
Thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Sounds of Safety podcast. Be sure to stay connected with the IJIS Institute on LinkedIn and X, and don't forget to subscribe on Apple Music, Spotify, or your preferred podcast platform to catch future episodes. From cybersecurity to artificial intelligence and deep dives into critical national data sharing initiatives, the Sounds of Safety podcast has you covered. Until next time.